Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
Hi, Katie. Some mixed feelings about an upcoming trip that is right ahead of you.
Well, pass now.
Yeah. Pass now. Yes.
We're getting updated on how the trip went.
Yes. So I told you all before we left that I was going to take a surprise trip to see my father and my brothers. And I was hesitant about this because my father and I, our relationship's been kind of weird ever since we reconnected when I was in high school. And so it's been hard trying to figure out, am I the one that's responsible for reaching out? Is he the one that's responsible for reaching out? And then after my whole he forgot my birthday thing, there was a weird, you know, it was weird after that because I was like, was I supposed to reach out to him? Like, hey, you forgot my birthday. Mm-hmm.
So we didn't elaborate on the whole birthday thing. So he forgot your birthday. Did he ever apologize for that? Or like, did it like a belated birthday?
He responded back by saying, oh, I also forgot your brother's birthday too.
That'll help.
Points for consistency. Ouch. Dad. At least you're not just crappy to me.
That would make me feel awesome. A tiny bit better though.
Kind of, but still, now it's like, okay, now you just don't know any of your kids' birthday.
Yeah. So. Not personal. All right, I'm just trying to get a better picture of this also. So, Pops wasn't around from what age to what age for you?
5 until 13.
Okay.
14.
Those are fairly formative years.
Yeah.
All right, and then after that, he comes back in intermittently, like from time to time, it's like, hey, and then goes away for years.
Well, months at a time. So he came back and it was like, all right, cool. We're going to try to build this relationship because we lost out on a lot of time. And so
That's good that the timing was right for him now.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It wasn't.
About these things,
but to be fair, Katie has established before her mom had a little something to do with that as well.
Okay. So it wasn't all on him for the reason why he wasn't in my life during that time. But when we reconnected, it was consistent. It was like, okay, I'm here. And then he showed up for my graduation. He showed up for my high school graduation, my college graduation. He actually came out for those type of things. And I actually was able to spend time with him. But then within these last 3 years, the communication has kind of drifted off.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of faded away. And it's hard to build that relationship that I've always wanted. And so up to this point, I was hesitant because I wanted to surprise him and go see him. But I haven't seen him physically in 2 years and I haven't spoken to him in over a month. So I was worried about how he would receive it if I just surprise your daughter's here.
Right.
What's up? So my brother knew that I was coming into town. And he was prepared. He was like, all right, cool, sis, this is what we're going to do. You get here one day, and then the next day, we're going to go bowling and tell dad that, hey, your son's want to come bowling with you, make it a little family event, and then that's where I would show up.
Boom, there you go. Okay.
Right? And so I was like, okay, let's test this out. Let's see how it goes. So we show up. We get to the bowling alley early before my dad, and then my brother calls him like, hey, dude, like, where you at? He's like, hey, we're on the way. My brother's like, we? Who's we? My dad's like, oh, my girlfriend and I. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know my dad had a girlfriend. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be really interesting when he walks in.
Lots of surprises all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we're preparing and my dad comes in and I briefly see him out the peripheral, but I'm trying to turn my back to him.
How did you feel when you was waiting for him, though? Like, what was that feeling like?
It was anxious. Like, I was just... because I don't know what his reaction is going to be. So I'm just trying to play it cool. Like, all right, it's just bowling with my brothers and my dad. We're going to be playing it cool.
Are you bracing for the worst, though?
Not fully.
Okay.
Not fully. I wasn't thinking worst case scenario. I was just nervous all around. So when I kind of briefly get spot him, right, and get my eyes on him, I'm like, okay, well, turn around. How to play this cool? Like, he doesn't even know.
What do I do with my hands?
Right. And I'm like, he's all the way at the front counter. Should I just walk over to him, or should he walks over here? Do we hug? Like, all these questions are going through my mind. And so he walks up, And immediately, he's in tears.
Oh.
Wow.
He's just crying. He's like, it's so good to see all your kids here. And he's crying. And I was not expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to cry and the warm embrace that I felt for him, it was great.
That's pretty cool, man.
It was just completely worth it. And like a couple days before that, I had ignored his call because I didn't want to blow the cover. So then on top of that, he's like, I was wondering why you didn't call me back and stuff like that.
Did you say that, hey, I just want to let you know, sometimes I ignore mom's calls too.
I should have, but I didn't. And so then for the rest of the trip, we were able to talk. I was able to share how I was feeling.
Oh, man, that's great.
And he shared how he was feeling. And
I'm so happy for you, Katie.
Every day we spent together for the rest of that trip.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And it was an amazing feeling because it's like, okay, now this is my dad.
So
this
do you feel like it's been redefined now?
Yes, only because everything's been put out on the table now.
Yeah.
So now I feel like there will be a shift and a change in how we move forward.
And I think him seeing the fact that, because we said before, yeah, it takes two people to make a relationship successful. But when you have like this unique child-parent dynamic, definitely responsibility falls on the parent's shoulders to instigate and to be the leader in what this relationship should be. And he hasn't really done that. So I think him seeing the lengths you went to surprise him and to be there for him can only light that fire for him to want to be there for you.
For sure.
I think so.
Well, that's great news. Congrats, man.
Thank you.
Congrats.
That's amazing.
The Burt Show.
All right, time to try to give some money away here. It's the Burt Show's Claim to Fame game. We asked you guys, do you have somebody famous on your family tree? We ask you 15 questions, yes or no questions. Don't tell us who that celebrity is. If we can't come up with anything, you win 250. And then we give Burt Show fam listeners a chance to try to guess. And if they do, they get $100. Lily is here. Hey, Lily, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for calling. $250 on the line. Kristen, you want to ask our regular questions, our givens?
Yes, our givens are, is this person dead or alive?
She's alive.
She. All right. Thanks for that bonus. Yep. And is this person in TV, movies, or sports?
TV and movies.
Or music. That was the other one. But TV and movies.
TV and movies. Okay.
All right. So we got an actress on our hands. A live woman in TV and movies.
TV and movies. Okay. Would she have had a movie out within the last 2 years?
Most likely, yes. I'm not positive.
Checking on that. Go to the next question.
Okay. Is she over 40?
Yes.
Okay. Is she married?
I believe so. One second, I have it up online. I'll just double check. Yeah, she's married.
Okay.
According to Rebecca, she has had a movie in the past couple years.
Okay.
Over 40.
Is she known for being funny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Funny lady.
Over 40, married, funny.
Is she in a very famous TV series?
I'm not sure. That might need to be done.
Not to my knowledge.
Then I'm going to say no.
No.
Okay. Not. So she's more known than for movies than TV.
Mm-hmm.
Is
she white?
Yeah.
Over 40, married, funny, more known for movies than TV.
Was she ever on SNL?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
Has she won awards before?
I'm not sure about that one.
Tommy.
If she did, it was like small.
Okay. Okay. So she wouldn't be considered an A-lister?
That's another question.
How do you define A-lister?
Mm-hmm.
Is her husband famous?
A-lister. But I'm not sure.
Mo had an excellent question.
Is her husband famous? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You sure you know this person?
Is that one of our 15?
She's on the family branch, I promise.
Okay.
Like too much of honor.
Is she heavier set?
No.
Is her husband a director?
I have no idea.
Tommy.
Yes.
Oh, you got an idea?
I do.
I think we're on the same wavelength.
Uh-huh.
How many questions we got left?
We're at 9, so we got 6.
All right, well, if you guys know, then ask leading questions to see if this is who it is.
Did she star in 40-Year-Old Virgin with Steve Carell?
Yes.
With a hankering for French toast?
Possibly.
Can I make a guess?
Is your next question?
No, I'm not going to ask that. Can I just go ahead and guess?
Sure.
Leslie Mann.
Yeah.
All right. Bottle
boom. I told Chris and I asked if she's too old for the earth.
She's really, really funny. Have you ever met her, or she's just on the family tree and it's just like, you know, she's somewhere on there?
I just know she's somewhere on there. I've never met her, but she's one of my favorite actresses. So, I mean, I'd like the chance to.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, when you see her, you will know exactly who she is. Mm-hmm. Who is she married to?
Judd Apatow.
I forgot that.
She has two very famous daughters now. Iris and Maude, who are in all kinds, like
Euphoria.
That's all probably info for Lily. Oh, really?
Yeah.
No way, really? All right, Lily, appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Have a good one.
You too.
And I'm a huge fan of her too, so that's the only reason why I got that.
Well, I would have never guessed it.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The sequel did so well that Disney just greenlit a third Hocus Pocus movie.
No way.
I know. There's going to be a third one coming our way. Disney Plus says another film is being developed after the sequel set a streaming record with 2.7 billion minutes of viewing. The original movie was not a box office hit at all. So this is like really crazy. It's one of those movies that, like, as time has passed, people see it on Disney Channel so much that it becomes like this cult classic and people have nostalgia attached to it. So it's really cool to see it get a second wind. If you've never seen it, it's a really cute Halloween movie. Stars Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, stop. You had me at Bette Midler.
Not Bette Midler. And yeah, the original came out
Kathy
30.
Kathy to Jimmy. Let's not forget Kathy.
Shout out to our girl, Kathy. Yeah, this is 30 years after the original came out, so it's awesome. Like a third movie already in the works.
This one's a huge Hocus Pocus fan, Abs.
I love Hocus Pocus so much, but here's the problem. Like, the sequel, I was so psyched for it. I was stoked to watch it. And then there was like a 5-minute scene that was like a Walgreens commercial. They were just wandering around a Walgreens. Yes, I had that same look on my face, but like, what?
Uh-huh.
Looking at costumes, I'm assuming?
No, makeup, because they were witches. They were discovering makeup because it hadn't really been around. And they were like, what is this magic? It makes you look young again. We don't need to steal the souls of children. Like that kind of thing. It was cute, but it felt so commercialized and such a letdown that I don't think they're going to get those streaming numbers again, because they could have had us. They could have put their all into it and made another cult classic that millennials like me would revisit with our kids. And instead, I was like, okay, well, it was a cute movie. I feel kind of duped, though. It's not.
They sold out.
Yeah, it felt that way. So I think, I mean, I'll definitely watch the third one, obviously, but I hope they do better.
Yes, you are going to get those streaming numbers.
You remember when you made
No, I'm taking a stand. I'm going to download it on BitTorrent.
You remember when you made me watch the original Hocus Pocus because I had never seen it, because that was like, that was more for your youth and my youth.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad I could impart that gift to you.
It's some of the worst acting I've ever seen.
It's so pretty bad.
It's so bad.
So if you haven't seen Hocus Pocus or the second one, watch those this week. But another movie everybody needs to go see is the new Little Mermaid film. Oh my gosh, I saw it last week. It is adorable.
I saw it.
You did? How did you like it?
I went alone, which is weird, right?
No, you did not.
No. Of all the movies to see alone, not that one.
That is nasty.
I'm assuming you went with your stepdaughter, Eliza.
Yes, and her mom.
Okay.
I thought it was really great. It was really good.
Okay, my biggest question. How old is Ariel in the movie?
Oh, they don't specify.
They don't?
But there's no, like, birthday party. That scene is totally cut out.
Okay.
So it's really cool. All the sisters, like, represent each of the seven seas. So I guess Ariel represents the Ariel Sea or something. I don't know. But they, like, all come for, like, a conference, and they're like, where's Ariel? And that's how they have to go find her.
Okay.
It didn't feel weird.
Okay, good. Because no. in the movie, the original movie, she's 16. And she gets married at the age of 16. And that is the thing that, like, I know people have an issue with her, like, still losing her voice, you know, like, giving up your voice for a man, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's, you know.
She gave up her life for a man.
Well, yes.
Or, counterpoint, she had a goal and gave her all and gave up everything to achieve her goal.
Yeah, she got lucky. Don't do it.
But I've always been caught up when I figured out that she was 16. I'm like, that is a teenage bride, and that is gross.
I mean, she looks pretty young. It's not so young that it's like, ew, those two don't go together. But she does look pretty young. But I didn't think twice about it.
Okay, yeah. Good. I think there's also I don't even think they get married in the end. Not that I think that's a spoiler, but it doesn't feel weird. And they fill up a lot of the plot holes, too. Like, I really appreciated how intentional a lot of the storytelling was in the film. It was just amazing. But
how creepy were Sebastian and Flounder? For real, the CGI live action.
It wasn't creepy.
They weren't?
No.
Their pictures are horrifying.
Maybe seeing him in the movie with all the other sea creatures, it's not as off-putting.
Okay.
No, they were so cute. I actually thought Flounder was adorable, so I wish all the haters would stop coming from a boy, because he was precious. He was just cute. Oh, like, flipping around. It was precious. So cute.
The sound effects was one point.
Just go to a movie for an hour and a half and escape. I mean, Flounder's creepy. Sebastian's creepy.
Live action Flounder and Sebastian are creepy. I wanted them to look like cartoons, not like something I would order at, like, Fuddruckers.
Well, anyway, in a recent interview, the guy who plays Prince Eric, who is the internet's latest boyfriend, the girlies are freaking out over this guy. Apparently, he got too jacked for the film. His trainer put him on, like, this intense bodybuilding regimen, and they were like, yeah, we're not going for the Incredible Hulk. We just want him to look like a little sailor boy who grew up in a castle and does romantic things. It was cute. Imagine doing one of those crazy ancestry tests and finding out you have an identical twin. I'll tell you what celeb that happened to on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
We've heard this one before, where one parent is totally cool with their kids, underage kids, drinking in their house. And then when the friends come over, they allow the friends to drink also. And the premise is, look, I'd rather them drink here, get all buzzed here, where they have adult supervision, than out in them streets, where I can't control anything and I can't see what's going on. That's the argument, except it's illegal. That kind of gets in the way of that argument. And there's a responsibility there also. I don't know if you guys talked about this on Friday, but people get sued for this.
Oh, we did. And I think a listener even called up and brought that to everyone's attention as well.
Yeah.
So Courtney was on with us, and Courtney, I wasn't here, so can you help me out here? You are having a graduation party for your daughter or son, and go ahead.
Yeah, my daughter, so last weekend, and my husband was really on that team that, hey, let him come over to our house and drink and do whatever, but... Well, my biggest argument, not only that it's illegal, they could, I don't know, sue your homeowner's insurance or God forbid anything happens, but some kids are on medications today and you don't know if that's going to interfere and you don't know and they don't know. So that's a huge liability. So my argument was, no, that's irresponsible. And we're showing them that, you know, we are going to buck the system and whatever rules that are in place don't matter because we know better. And I thought that was a bad example. So we ended up doing something that I think was kind of cool. And it worked out, I think. So what we did was we came to kind of a compromise that my husband and I said, you know, we printed up these little things, these little cards, and it said, like, you know, free ride. And what we said to them was, have fun, but if you had a drink or if you're not feeling 100%, any time of the night, you call us, we'll come, no questions asked, no reprimanding, no nothing. Me and my husband will come. We won't say anything to your parents. We'll just make sure that you get where you're supposed to get safely, and you know, everything's fine. And they all were like on board, and they smiled and they were happy, and we didn't get any calls except towards, you know, the end of the night. Our daughter called us. I guess she had one drink and she was with a group of kids and they wanted to go on to the next party, and she felt like it wouldn't be right if she drove. So we picked her up, took them to the next party, and then when they were ready to come home, we went and got them. And of course we were tired the next day, but we were like, yay, everyone's alive, everyone's healthy, everyone's happy.
Okay, so so I'm clear here, the arrangement was, okay, you're not going to have this party in our house, but you guys, we know you're going to go out, you're going to drink. Here are these cards. And if you do drink, then at least let us know and we will make sure you get home safely or to the next party safely. Do I have that clear? Yeah.
Well, they started at our house. We did have kind of a little party get together. So that's where we got to give everybody, you know, and tell them to pass it on for anybody who wasn't there.
Because we party hop too. So I get what you're saying,
yeah,
Courtney.
Three parties.
Yeah. When I graduated high school, there's multiple people have parties. So you kind of end up, well, I mean, there was one massive party at my friend's property and we ended up having a field party. But in the previous years, the senior class, and we were friends with some seniors, we would go to their graduation parties, but multiple people would have parties that you would party hop to.
And did any of the other parents know about these cards and this arrangement that you made with their kids?
Maybe two other sets that we talked to a lot knew, but not really anyone else, because we don't really speak to them. But then later on, I think, you know, maybe a few kids told their parents, and it came back to us that everybody was pleased and it was fine and everyone was happy and it was all good.
Okay. So it ended up being okay.
Worked out.
All right. Yeah. That's just a tremendous risk. I'm nervous just listening to this story as somebody that has.
You were squirming the entire time.
because I think you do get caught. Like, I have been very honest with my kids on how I partied back in the day. But as far as them being in the house and doing it with other friends and handling other people rather than your own kids when it comes to this thing, it just makes me super, super nervous.
Mean giving cards to other people's kids?
I just wouldn't get involved in it at all. I mean, because, okay, so let's say you give the card out. I'm glad it worked out, Courtney, but you're putting yourself under tremendous risk for anybody else listening. So you have this party. You give these kids the cards. Chances are pretty good. They're, what, 16, 17 years old? They don't even know how buzzed they are. So, they have the card, but then they go ahead and they get into an accident, but they have the card. Then they tell the parents, now you're held responsible, or at least you knew about it. The parents didn't know. It just sounds complicated to me.
Yeah, well, we figured they were going to drink anyway and party anyway. We said, just if you need a ride, we'll come. So
I don't have older kids, and as a parent, like, my first reaction would be like, how dare you make a pact like with my kid and I'm not a part of it? And then if I step back though and I was like, you spent all night making sure my kid didn't get in a drunk wreck, well, thanks. Mm-hmm. Like, I think at the end of the day, like, once I really remove myself from the situation, I'm like, that's really cool of you. I know I'm not dumb. I know my kid's going to drink like at these parties. Even if my kid's not a drinker, they're going to be tempted. I know, because I was there at one point. And I think it's a really cool service that you did. And I'm sure there are some legalities, like Bert's right, you should watch out for. But I think that's a pretty cool way around it.
All worked out either way, Courtney.
Yeah.
All right.
And congrats on your grad. You did it.
Yay!
You ain't done parenting yet.
I hear you're done. Once they graduate high school, you just see you.
Really? Yeah. I had not read that. Dang.
Saves you a lot of money.
That's exciting.
That way.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You're on The Bert Show.
All right, Rebecca, y'all are stressed out right now and trying to question, like, why? What is it about you that the women don't want to go out with you? Why?
Yeah, you know what? I'm sick of hearing people say, oh, dating sucks. Dating is so hard. Because you know what? Dating is worse for me. Me specifically.
It's hard over here too, Rebecca.
What makes your situation worse than anybody else? It can't be worse for you. When you walk into a bar, 100% of the people there you can hook up with. For most of us, it's 50%. How can it be harder for you?
Because that's 100% more people who will reject you.
Valid point.
That's what seems to kind of keep happening to me. And it's kind of bringing me down a little bit. So I am, for context, a bisexual woman, which you guys already know because it's all I freaking talk about. But recently, I did something new for the first time. On my dating apps, I have opened it up to everybody, not just men. So now it's ladies, bros, non-binary hoes, all just messaging me, whatever. I've got it open and I'm ready to date everyone.
Okay.
And I'm really excited about it.
But everybody else isn't excited about you?
It seems so.
Oh, no.
Ouch.
And I don't do that bad on the apps. Like, I pride myself on having a pretty funny, engaging profile. Like, men seem to, you know, like to match with me, and I have pretty good matches with men. But it's been weeks where I've had it open to women and everyone, and I've matched with one woman.
Maybe the word hasn't gotten out yet.
Still new.
You're just the best kept secret on Bumble.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I need to plaster myself on a billboard somewhere. They need to know I'm here.
Look, let me ask you a question here. All right. And it's a marketing question.
Okay.
That I'm going to try to apply to dating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're a woman and you put a profile together, right, for a man, is it any different than if you are a woman putting together a profile for a woman?
Oh, that's a great question.
So now, because you're asking for all, it seems to me like you're marketing to everybody.
Yes.
Because we know, like, because you have demographics, like that you, and it, the marketing is different.
Right.
For men and women.
When I think about it, I feel like I make the app just feeling like it's all encompassing. But yeah, if I was going to gear it more towards men, there would definitely be things that I would put on and take it off for women. Anime, men love anime, women don't. So I would take that off.
I feel like all men really do is look at the pictures, and women look beyond that. They look for more.
Can you have two profiles can you have one profile looking for men on one, have another profile on a different app looking for women? And then on another app, everybody's invited to the Rebecca party.
Okay, that would be interesting because I could do that on like Bumble Be My Man app and Hinge Be My Woman app. And then I don't know where lesbians go, Katie. So you got to tell me that.
I think like Tammy or something like that.
Tammy.
Or something like that. It's weird. Yeah, weird names. Weird.
Can you do that though? Can you put like different profiles up trying, if you are bisexual, can you put different profiles up attracting different genders?
I think you have to stick to the one profile and just open it up to whatever genders you're into. I don't think you can like double it, like clone
on
your
the
profile.
Same app, but on others app. You could.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I could.
Can they see that you're, like, if you're a man, can it see that you're open to dating women as well? Does it say that?
I'm pretty sure you can put your sexuality. Mine's not up.
Because I'm wondering, so, and I know I feel like I've heard Katie talk about this a little bit before, and you, and sorry if I'm putting words in your mouth. My understanding is that people who are legit lesbians, and not to diminish being bisexual or pansexual, anything like that, are worried when they date bisexual women that they're not really in it and they're just testing the waters. Am I right, Katie? Like,
yeah, you're right.
Some of the community.
Mm-hmm, you're spot on.
And I've also seen that there's some signaling that women in the LGBTQ community do with, like, obviously short nails, lots of rings, sometimes dressing hyper feminine to sort of send signals to other women that, like, we're the same ball game. Am I speaking out of turn, Katie? Like, no. I don't want to put words in anyone's mouths. This is just what
you're
I learned.
You're on the right road.
So I'm wondering.
Is she lesbian-splaining?
No. Yeah. You see how I'm dancing around it?
You're dancing real fast.
So my point is maybe you need to put some of those photos in there.
How many pictures can I put up on my profile where I'm just like,
well, you can take the one of you and the cat down.
Why'd she?
Lesbians love cats.
No, not that picture.
Not that picture.
No. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, it's this one.
Oh, yeah, that got to go.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes it's me your... laugh so hard.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's
yeah. Yeah, that's not
great.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and read that one now.
No, you're
like right now.
Okay.
I am a fan of your profile. Like your lead photo is fantastic. I think your About Me is so funny. Hey, y'all, I'm just a girl looking for someone who doesn't know their astrology chart. Also, I'm 6'1" because apparently that matters. I think that's very funny. I also think your Two Truths and a Lie are fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
It's highly entertaining.
Okay, good. Love that.
Yeah, so the only thing I
was the cat.
It's an adorable picture of the cat, but that is not a good picture of you.
No, it's not.
Wow,
you're not right. You're not wrong.
Well, we're being honest, right?
I'm not mad at you.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have friends that are going to be honest with you,
yeah.
Right?
Let every person in this. How many pictures are you allowed to have?
I think like 6.
Okay. Let every person in the studio choose a picture for you to use.
Okay.
Like
okay.
You can use all of them at the same time, but let's refresh the pictures and see if it'll snag you some new dates.
Take the cat down to get the cat.
Yes.
Yes.
You're on The Bert Show.
Hey, if it's you or do you know a family that has a special needs kid, we are now accepting applications for Bert's Big Adventure 2024. Of course, this is the trip we take down to Disney World every year with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses, and we bring everybody in the family. So if it's you or you know a family, please nominate yourself or them at bertsbigadventure.org. Hi, Kristen. The email is... They're thinking about kicking the parents out of the house.
Yeah, because they heard our conversation. You remember it wasn't that long ago we had the segment about debating if those people on, I think it was either TikTok or Instagram, saying that their daughter had graduated.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to go to college. So in the next month, she was going to have to start paying rent. And if she couldn't pay rent, they were going to kick her out.
People were outraged.
So we had this debate and everybody was like, yes, time to learn some responsibility. You can't, you know, you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to learn to get on in the real world. Wow.
Well,
I don't know.
Look how well you're doing.
I'm doing fantastic. You're going to have to learn how to figure some stuff out on your own. And you guys were like, absolutely. And then I said, I held your feet to the fire. And we're like, okay, your kid doesn't pay rent. Are you kicking him out?
Nah. Yeah, I had that in me. I wish I'd have called my dad out now that you said that, too, when he told me he would have kicked me out. I wish I would have really called his bluff.
Because the only controversy there for me was, like, they were only giving her 1 month, right? They
correct.
Said, you got 1 month. Now, my kid would have a couple more months than that. But at some point, I'd have to have the balls to go, okay, then get out. I would. I'd have to. At some point, I mean, you can only be a helicopter parent, you know, so long. At some point, you got to say, go figure it out yourself.
But what if you push them out the nest and they crash?
Well.
No. That's a sad thought.
It just got dark.
Wait, you want to just get to the email?
Sure.
Okay.
I was just thinking about, like, how nervous I was for Hayden to go to college because he gave me no indication at all that when he left the house, he was going to live. and he got to college and he was absolutely fine. Not only that, he flourished. So it wasn't a purposeful push. It was one that he went to this college and he ended up flourishing. So sometimes I think it's going to be way worse than it really is. They got to find themselves.
Hey, Bert Show, longtime listener, first time emailer. I heard your segment about whether or not you would kick your kids out if they didn't pay rent. I'm in a similar situation, but it's my parents. My mom and stepdad moved in with me and my husband in February. Their agreement was they would pay half the mortgage. That would also cover their bills. The reason for moving in with us is because my stepdad lost his job, so he's opted for early retirement. My mom doesn't work. They were renting a condo and decided not to renew the lease. They're wanting to retire to Florida or South Carolina. While they look for a place, they're staying with us for an undetermined amount of time. We all get along well, and I honestly didn't think twice about it. I love my mom and stepdad and was eager to help them out. As an only child, I did feel a slight obligation to help out, but was happy to do so. And my husband has been awesome throughout the process. Here it is June, and we haven't seen a payment for June or May. My husband and I have had lengthy discussions about this, but I'm embarrassed to admit I haven't brought it up to my parents. To make matters worse, they've taken weekend trips to Savannah and Charleston, yet haven't bothered to pay rent.
Uh-oh.
How do I even approach this conversation? I've known my stepdad since I was 9. My mom and he have been there for me through the good and the bad. Do I let this go, or do I ask them for the rent? Do my husband and I ask them together, or will that feel like we are ganging up on them? I absolutely hate confrontation and never imagined being in this position. You think they just forgot? I mean, they're old, but not that old. Thanks in advance for any advice you can give.
This makes me want to throw up.
It does me too, because I hate confrontation as well.
Well, I hate confrontation, and I also really hate any kind of confrontation or negotiation when it comes to money. Mm-hmm. I just hate talking about those things. But it's clear that they're getting taken advantage of. I mean, if they're going on these vacations and they're not paying rent, I mean,
there's got to be a reason.
I mean, in the real world, right, they would lose their house, but there's no way.
So you say just put an eviction notice on their door?
there's no way. Like, I can see, I can envision, I can fantasize about me telling my kid, like, you got to get out of here, man. It's been 4 months. You don't have a job. Go find your way. But telling my parents that, and I don't even dig my parents. I still couldn't do that.
I don't think I could do this either. I mean, I would like to think that I can really sit my parents down and talk to them about anything. And I think I should be motivated, because when the roles were reversed and I was younger, they had no qualms about telling me that I wasn't doing something. So I would want to return that energy. But knowing that I actually lived under their roof for as long as I did without having to pay anything, I probably just would eat this one.
The thing is that they've already agreed that they would pay half the mortgage. Like, there's already a conversation. So if you bring it up to them, just be like, hey, remember when you said you would pay? Just send them like a Venmo request or something. Like, this could be done in one conversation.
It's really weird how they're the ones that are feeling uncomfortable when they're in the right.
I know.
They allow the parents in the house. The parents haven't paid. It's the parents that should feel uncomfortable, and yet here they are, and I get it. I'd feel the same way, that they're uncomfortable with the conversation, even though they're perfectly within their rights. So, I don't know.
Hey, The Bert Show.
All right, so before we get into this, look, don't email us, don't call us. In some states in the United States of America, cannabis is legal.
Illinois is one of them.
Illinois is one of them.
And that's where I was this weekend.
That's where I was. All right. We are not endorsing it. We are just saying that there are some states where it's legal. So we are talking about nothing illegal, or we're not endorsing anything.
What is funny is Bert, myself, and Mo, we were in Chicago last year, and we were unaware that it was legal until we walked out into the streets. So we were like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, damn.
This city smells good.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Oh, it smells like California and Atlanta.
Yeah, so at the age of 26, I've never done the pot. I've never smoked the weed. And so I thought, you know, because I don't want to do anything illegal, because it's one thing to, like, try something, but I'm very much like a rule follower. So I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to Chicago. I've never been to Chicago. Weed happens to be legal there. It'd be a really fun time to, like, try it. Going to a Taylor Swift concert. That'd be a fun place to be a little high.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And so I'm very type A, so of course I had to go in with a plan. And so I'm like, you know what?
You need weed.
And so I don't know anything about weed, so I'm walking around the city thinking, we're just going to stumble across a dispensary and I'll just, like, stroll in. So we're walking around Chicago, and like 2 hours goes by, and I haven't seen a single weed store. And so,
it's weird, because some cities you go in and they're very, like, they're promoting it. Like, it's a big old sign, and they all have the signs out front, and it's the same sign. And there are other cities you go to where you could walk right by a shop and you would never even know it.
Yeah, not in Chicago. It was very low key. So then I started looking like I had a drug problem, because I'm going up to people like, where are the drugs? Where's the weed? Where can I get some weed? And so I ended up putting something
in. They hand you a bag full of basil. Here you go.
Yeah. Girl, I love this. So I ended up putting like a dispensary in Google Maps or something, and it takes us all the way across town to this area called River North. It's beautiful, gorgeous, right on the river in Chicago. And again, you can walk right by and it doesn't look like anything special. It's a very clinical building, and you walk in and the first thing you see is like a line, and it heads you, it takes you straight to a desk where there's like a police officer and an attendant. It's very intense. Oh. And so I walk up feeling really nervous. I'm like, I would like a singular weed, please.
I was like, is this where I ask for it?
Like, I'll take a number 5 combo. And they're just like, ma'am, give us your ID. Although I'm pretty sure that not the police officer, but the guy behind the table was like stoned out of his mind.
Oh, yeah. You'll never find nicer people than the ones that work in those dispensaries. Right. It is the kindest place you will ever be.
I could have passed him like a piece of paper and he would have been like, this looks legit.
So they're probably, yeah, of course, they're going to check your ID, make sure like you don't have any warrants out for your arrest or blah, 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 make sure you're clean.
So I go in, give them my ID. They give me like a slip of paper, and then you walk into a second room. And I don't know what I was expecting when it came to dispensaries. I thought I could like browse and like smell the different weed.
But
and,
you know one from the other anyway?
No. I mean. I wanted to like shop. I don't know.
It's not a Nordstrom.
Wait, right? Think you're in Saks? What's going on?
It's not Saks off weed. And so there's like another line. So it's a room with a second line, and there's nothing for me to look at. So I'm like, what do I do? Like, I'm so lost and out of my element. Thank goodness there was a woman there who saw how stressed out I was. She was like, we need to get you some weed. I'm like, yes, thank you. So I'm talking to her about what I'm looking for. I'm like, I want to do an edible because I think that's probably the easiest way for me to not like overdose. Can you overdose on weed? I don't know.
You got
to
try.
And so she can tell that I'm like really freaking out because she's like, well, what kind do you want? I'm like, there's different kinds. She's like, yeah. Do you want like Sativa or Splenda?
Splenda or Sativa.
Yeah. Okay. I'm like, what's the difference? And she's like, well, one will make you happy and the other will make you paranoid. I'm like, I want the happy one.
No, that's not true.
That's literally
not exactly.
And she was like, one's like a body high and one will make you happy. I'm like, well, of course I want the happy one. So I think that was like stevia.
Stevia.
So I get that one. And she's also like, why don't we get you something with some CBD in it too? And so I got like these melon gummies that were like half THC, half CBD. And then she gives me another slip of paper. And then you got to go up to the line. And then turns out you need to pay it with cash. So it really did feel like a drug deal. I was like, here's my little wad of cash.
Are you sure it just wasn't somebody's apartment? I've never had to pay for it with cash.
You got to do that in Denver, too.
Oh, you do? Really?
Yeah.
Why? Like you can't do it with a credit card.
I don't know why. I never asked. But yeah, it's always been like that. They won't let you use a card at all.
Is that why you can't buy a lottery ticket with a card? You have to use cash?
Maybe.
Well, in California, they'll take anything. They'll trade home goods.
So then we get brunch afterwards, and I'm one of those people that, like, after I have a meal, I get a little snacky. Like, I suffer from needing something sweet. And then those gummies started looking real good, and I was like, oh, I know I shouldn't. But then I started, like, microdosing because I wanted something sweet. So this is, like, 1 p.m., and then we get back to the apartment. We're getting ready for the concert, and my friends are freaking out because none of us have ever smoked pot before. They're like, you can't take too much. You're going to ruin the Taylor Swift concert. And so then I pop a gummy. I wait an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens. And I'm like, well, this is lame. And so I'm like, I'm going to take another one. My friends go, do not take another one. Because anytime I hear people talk about edibles, they do that. They're like, you can only take a half of one. So I'm like, okay.
A whole hour.
I waited a whole hour. Nothing. I didn't even want Doritos. I got myself a bag of Doritos expecting the munchies. Nothing. I pop another gummy. Nothing. Now I have like 10 milligrams in my system and I'm just cruising. And at this point I'm thinking, did the weed just make me feel like a normal person? Like, is my anxiety so high that this just brought me to like base level? And so then my friends started taking them to see if it was just me. It's just me. I think weed might be a scam. Like, I'm not, like, it did nothing for me. Because my friends were like, yeah, we feel great.
Oh, that sounds like a challenge.
There are some people.
I can find you some.
Yeah.
I know for me, it hits way later. Like I took, it was CBD oil and I felt nothing for 8 hours. And then I was out of my mind. I could not I kept forgetting that like I was in my house. It was so bad. So maybe it just hit later and you were asleep.
No, because I was at the Taylor Swift concert. I was up till 2 a.m.
And I
was
like, nothing?
And you were unfazed?
Unfazed. I was even a little anxious. I was like,
anxious that your weed wasn't working?
I know. I was like, why is this not working for me? Is there something wrong with me?
It gives me anxiety when I do weed. I can't do it.
Really?
Yeah, it gives me anxiety. I hate doing it. So maybe that sucks. I'm sorry.
I think you need to send your receipt to Chicago. I want my money back.
Yeah, I know. Someday, it did nothing for me.
Uh-uh.
Hey, The Bird Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Chrissy Teigen did one of those ancestry tests to learn more about her family tree, and it turns out she might have an identical twin. So she paid for the upgrade on 23andMe, and it shows that she has a sibling. It shows that she has an identical twin. And so she actually went to her dad to figure out, like, what happened. This is a direct quote from Entertainment Tonight. She says, "Dad, hey, did you come see me out of mom's vagina? And were there two of me?" And she says that he started laughing, and he was like, "No, I was there. There were not two of you." And she was like, "Are you sure?" And so she's like, how could this mishap have happened? Like, how does it show that there is another one of me? So she ended up talking to her mom, which seems like the logical person to go to first.
I wouldn't go to dad. I would go to mom.
Well, mom would have been lying all these years. She knew that there were twins. She was trying to keep it a secret, but not dad.
Her mom would never.
Yes, she would.
No, she would not. I adore her. She is so stinking cute. Her mother would never do that to her.
So her mom actually had to remind Chrissy that she was supposed to do this show called Finding Your Roots. And it was like celebs who are doing all these like behind, or they're like looking into their ancestry. And so when she did it, she had to do it under like a fake name and put all of her information in that way. So really what was coming up on the 23andMe was that like profile that she had created. So it's not actually an identical twin. It was just her the whole
Shut
time.
Shut up.
Really? Are you serious?
And she never did the show. So she's like, it makes sense because we would have found that out like on the air.
Lame.
Okay, if you found yourself running out to Home Depot and couldn't find any hot pink paint, you got to blame the new Barbie movie. So the highly anticipated Barbie film required so much pink paint to create the sets that it literally caused an international shortage of hot pink paint.
This sounds like this was made up by the movie company. Come on.
Really? Have you seen the sets? There is so much pink.
It is a lot of pink.
It's a lot of pink.
But you can see
an international pink shortage.
Yeah, that does sound wild.
With these supply chain issues, I believe it. I believe it.
It does have to be another way to like set the setup than to actually use paint for everything, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like with CGI now, they made The Lion King look like two lions were actually having a conversation. I'm pretty sure they could fake some pink paint.
And if you run out of pink, just go find some red and white.
Old school, baby.
Greta Gerwig would never lie to me. No. So she was talking to Architectural Digest about the set creation and what she wanted to do, her vision. And she said she really wanted to make sure that this set felt really childlike. She wanted to use the obnoxious pink paint so it felt like the actual like Barbie dream house that you would buy at Toys R Us. May it rest in peace. So they made Barbie's dream house like an absolute dream. They modeled it after some old Palm Springs homes. So it looks kind of retro. There's a heart-shaped bed, a massive walk-in closet, and a slide in true Barbie fashion that goes from the roof all the way to the Barbie dream pool.
That was one of my, did you know there's certain Christmases you always remember and like certain gifts that are just like, and that was when I came around and there was the Barbie dream house. And I was like, I made it.
Yes.
For me, so excited.
For me, it's the gifts that you don't get. Like, I always wanted a Barbie Jeep growing up, like one of those ones that, like, the kids drive around the neighborhood.
A motorized one that you could fit in.
I wanted the truck. Yeah, I never got it either.
Still hurts. Yeah, it still hurts.
It's painful.
So, it's a beautiful home in this housing market. Like, whatever jobs Barbie is doing, it's paying off very well. Okay, so people are wondering what happened to Jonah Hill. His sister got married back in May, a couple weeks ago, and he wasn't in any of the photos. So people were like, are they good? Are they cool? What's going on? But it turns out he was actually just at a hospital because his girlfriend went into labor. He welcomed his first child into the world with her.
Oh, what are the odds that your sister's getting married and you have your baby on the same day?
Would you be mad? to the sister, just a little mad.
Just a little bit. Absolute horrible timing. Like, could the baby not have waited like another day? Yeah,
right. Selfish.
Yeah. I know. All the reports that I've seen.
I wouldn't say anything, though.
But you would feel it. Like 10%, like pissed?
Not even 10%.
Okay, just a little twinge.
But yeah.
Okay, but she knew the baby's due date. Like, you don't plan your wedding during those 2 weeks, like a 2 week time span on either side of the due date.
No, maybe she planned the wedding and then they found out they were pregnant afterwards.
No way.
Yeah, it takes a long time to plan a wedding. Yeah. My cousin's getting married in March. They've been planning this thing for like a year and a half already.
Well, then Jonah Hill and his girlfriend shouldn't have had relations.
Oh, yeah.
Full circle. It is no longer Beanie's fault. It is Jonah's fault.
Because, I mean, you talk about athletes. I'm sure athletes have to be careful. Like, for instance, NFL players have to be careful around a certain time of the year because they don't want to be potentially facing a birth during the Super Bowl.
Well, Wait, didn't that happen? The ones that are on good teams.
Yes. You don't think so?
No, I do not.
Are baseball players for the World Series?
No, I do not.
You don't think so?
No, I do not.
Hockey players in the Stanley Cup?
No, I do not. Man.
For more stories, head to theburntshow.com. Click eBuzz.
The NBA Finals?
No. Nope. Absolutely not.
None of them.
Hey. The Burt Show. We won't hide them from you. We have all had very inappropriate moments in our lives, and we share them with you this week in our bonus content. BurtShow.com/bonusBS. So did she tell her friend that the dude that the friend is seeing has a history of cheating? Do you go in on that or do you stay away?
So her best friend started dating again after about 2 years since her ex-fiancé cheated on her. And because that relationship ended the way that it did, she has always maintained this attitude of once a cheater, always a cheater. Now, she doesn't believe that is true, and she feels like she is proof that that is not true, but she does know that that's how her best friend feels. So her best friend is finally coming around on the other side of that, and she's giving this guy a chance, in which things seem to be going really well. But she happens to know that this guy did indeed cheat on his ex-fiance. She doesn't think that the guy is, like, just going to always do that. She thinks it was bad circumstances. But she was wondering, what would a best friend do in this situation? Do you kind of warn your friend knowing that that might torpedo and ruin the situation for her? Or do you keep it to yourself because you actually can see this going well?
I think if I remember correctly, I was like, if you're, this is your best friend and you have this information, you can't withhold it.
If it's a best friend?
Yeah, best friend.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah, you disclose it. But you also disclose it with like, hey, this was a unique circumstance. I am of a believer. I used to be like, once a cheater, always a cheater. Not anymore. I've had plenty of friends who have overcome circumstances, and people want to think cheating is so black and white, but there's actually a lot of gray when it comes to infidelity and in marriages and what's going on, because you don't know what's happening in a relationship. Don't condone it by any stretch of the means, but I do feel like you can come back from it. So I would tell her, hey, here's what I know. But I think it would be a mistake for you not to give him a chance just because this happened.
What did you guys say? Best friend.
I remember she said that I don't want to ruin their opportunity for a happy and healthy relationship, because it did. The tone of the message seemed like it was really positive, like she liked this relationship. And so what I remember thinking was like, if this really is a good relationship, I think he's going to be honest. Like, I think this is his story to tell. And I think if you really do think it's a good relationship, then it's going to come out at some point anyway.
I think if it's my best friend and I knew that he had a specific issue with this exact thing, I would feel obligated to tell him. But I would try to tell him with the warning that Kristen said earlier of, I don't think it's that bad, but I would have to let him know.
So here's the follow-up. Quick update on my situation that you all were so kind to give me some advice on. Well, I ended up telling her the truth about his past relationship. I met her for dinner, and I just kind of ripped the Band-Aid off and told her right away. She was a bit shocked and really disappointed. She did thank me for telling her, but said she had wished I would have told her as soon as I knew she was going out with him the first time. I told her that I just wasn't sure if that was the right thing to do. I told her that I was afraid she wouldn't give him a chance and that I know he is a really good guy and I don't think this is who he is as a person. She was hard to convince. So after a glass of wine, I ended up telling the truth about my own past mistake. She had no idea. So it was a bit of a double shock for her, but I wanted her to know that people can mess up and still turn things around.
That's right, because she had infidelity in her past, but she and her spouse had worked it out.
She tried to change the subject as she seemed kind of shell-shocked for a bit. I brought it all back up and was able to convince her at least to talk to him and hear him about the whole situation. I wanted her to at least know all the details before she decided to give up on the relationship entirely. Well, she did take my advice. Not sure what exactly he told her, but it seems like whatever he said convinced her to give him a chance. I'm relieved and also glad that I was honest with her. I really think he is great for her, and I hope they make it work. And it turns out to be a great thing for her. I'll keep you guys posted from Mandy.
Ooh, if I'm him, I'm mad at Mandy.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You just outed me, and you didn't give me a chance for me to explain my story from my side. I'd be peeved.
That relationship, yeah, he's going to be so mad that he will... He might be nice to Mandy, but he will never, ever trust her or totally like her.
You don't think any part of him would kind of understand that with them being best friends that she felt obligated to do that?
Especially when cheating is such a hot button for her.
Oh, like I would understand that. I mean, I wouldn't be happy about it, but I would get her obligation to tell.
Maybe so. I think initially I'd just be like, why? Why even? That was a different relationship. Why are you stirring things up now? If it was still important, I would have said something to her. So I don't know. I could see it both ways there.
I get it.
But it looks like it turned out anyway. Turned out okay anyway. All right.
So she's gonna at least give him a chance. So
with a lot of these emails, like I run away from confrontation and tension so quickly that some of these emails to me, I would just never. I'm just like back it up. That is not even close to my life right now, so I am not going anywhere near.
Get it? The Bird Show.
All right, I got a real quick question for parents. Tommy, do I have time for this? Just a couple minutes? I do. All right. I mean, it's a really basic question, but I was talking to a friend of mine last week, and it made me ask the question that I think that parents fall into one of two different categories when it comes to conflict with each other in the home. Because I've heard this both ways. When parents divorce, some kids will go, I never saw it coming. Never saw my parents argue at all. And there are the other half that are like, oh my God, I was just so glad that my parents split up. They were fighting all the time, or the fighting used to make me really uncomfortable. So I think my question to you guys is, when you handle conflict with your significant other, husband, wife, do you argue in front of the kids, or do you sequester yourself to another room and they have no idea there's tension? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
Never saw my parents fight. So my parents divorced much later. I mean, they divorced after 23, 24 years of marriage. But like growing up, I have zero recollection of them ever fighting. But as we got older, I also have zero recollection of them showing affection. So I think that's a two-prong thing. So, because they slept in separate rooms, because my dad is such a heavy snorer. So, I mean, that was just always a given. But, yeah, I mean, had a great childhood, but I don't even think it's not even so much about like fighting in public and fighting in front of the kids. It's also, are you showing affection in front of the kids?
I don't know why my knee jerk reaction is when like Tiff and I are having any kind of tension at all. It's like, nope, that's for another room. Mm-hmm. I don't want Eliza to see it. I don't want my kids to see it also. But I'm wondering if that's not authentic. Like maybe they should see you like having those little things.
If it's a tense discussion or a disagreement, we stay in the same room with the kids.
You do.
But it doesn't escalate into a fight. Like a fight to me is screaming, like shouting, maybe slamming doors. And I've had those with my husband. That's not in front of the kids. Because what we want to do is model for Hazel and Max that it's okay to have disagreements with a partner. Mm-hmm. And here's how you would handle it. And it's okay to get tense. And even Hazel will be like, take a deep breath. Because we are teaching her to
She'll say that?
Yeah, because we're teaching her when she feels angry. Like how to deal with her emotions and take a deep breath to calm yourself down. So we'll do that, and then we'll model like that with her. You know, we make a big show of it, but I want her to know it's okay to have disagreements and come to a conclusion and speak respectfully to your partner. Now, if we can tell it's going to be more contentious and we're not going to end up on the same page, we'll cut the argument short and then we'll pick it up again later.
If my 3 or 4 year old said, take a breath, it would stop the argument for me immediately. It would 100% stop it for me.
It makes me happy because it means she's listening, and I've let her see me cry before, not at like, not because of an argument, but just in general. And she'll be like, it's okay to be sad sometimes, which is what we teach her when she cries. I want her to know it's okay to feel the feelings. It's what you do next that matters after you feel those feelings.
How old is she?
Three and a half.
And she is far more emotionally mature than I am. And it's like not even close.
Oh, I'm sure some child psychologist will call up and be like, you are ruining her. No.
Hey, Essence, good morning. You're part of the Bird Show. Hi.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love you guys. I listen every day. I
appreciate you calling.
Absolutely. So when my husband and I are disagreeing and it's escalating to an argument, we sequester ourselves to a different room. Mm-hmm. We do not argue in front of our children under no circumstances because we don't want them to feel as if they need to pick a side based off what they hear and the content of the argument. So we'll go to the garage, which is the furthest corner of the house, and we'll even turn on the radio in the car and open the doors so that we can only hear each other.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I just don't want them to feel like, well, Dad did something to Mom did something to Dad. Let's pick a side, because I've been in previous relationships and I did not block them from the arguments, and they did pick sides. And I have three adult daughters, and we still don't do it in front of them either. So, no.
Really great points here. And in our house, I mean, it's always going to be, because we're dealing with stepkids also, Hollis is always going to take my side. Eliza will always take Tiffany's side, no matter what. So that would eliminate that altogether. But I think that's a really good point.
Yeah, no, it is a good point. I mean, Bart and I, we haven't had any arguments in front of Jimmy. If anything, I've explained to him, like, I want to make sure he sees the affection, which is why I'm like, he and I never got each other Christmas gifts before. We always go on a trip. But I was like, I want him to see us give each other things so he knows what that looks like. And so we've made a more conscious effort of showing gratitude and appreciation of each other in front of him.
Do you ever remember your parents getting in a major fight in front of you?
All the time. I think they think that they tried to keep it from us and me, but they didn't do a good job of that. I heard a lot of them.
Yeah. What's so funny is the parents that had the biggest fights, like threw plates and broke good things, Lord, were the one that stayed together.
Right.
But why? I've said this before, like the bragging rights of, oh, my grandparents stayed together for 75 years, but they hated each other for 50 of them.
Broke a lot of dishes in
those
75 years.
It's the Bird Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Bird Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Bird Show.